Blog Talk Radio.
We go each day to day, hour to hour, pain is great.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice on this day, June 19th. It's a show we've all been looking forward to. Drake will be on in a minute, and after an absence of 9 months, a gestation period, if you like, we'll have the return of Tanath after the first hour. So, Drake. Hello, Drake.
Yeah, I'm
Are we
searching
good?
phones.
That's okay.
I'm doing other things. I
That's
got
all
some
right.
what ifs.
We've
I've
got
been running
a couple.
across stuff you would not believe. I got the better part of a legal pad full of notes about different things that are getting ready to happen. I've been trying to tell people the things that's happening and going on and situations are taking place. Problem I found is that nobody believes it now. They think it's old hat, I'm full of whatever, and all I'm after is an audience. Well, that ain't the case. The case is that I want people to be aware as to what is happening. You may not see it easily. That's another problem. So what if? What if what I've been telling everybody it comes to pass? What happens if we're on the threshold of a dream, so to speak? What happens if, well, you got ISIS, Iraq, and Syria. Who funded them? Why? Mysteriously, the few appeared and have trained troops on the run? That sounds fishy. Sorry, but that's, you think about that, and that just don't equate too well. Now, I can't say that it is not happening because I was in Vietnam and I saw extraordinary unwillingness to play the game that was going on there by almost everybody that was in a position to be able to do something about it. In short, picking up a gun and defending your country, defending your life, your homestead, etc. And well, I tell you, this, some of the fun and games that I witnessed, in my considered opinion, it was unbelievable. You don't understand or believe something like that until you see it. Now, one of the main problems we've got in this country right now is that nobody sees the future. Why? Well, everything's going in the toilet. You go from $15, $20 an hour down to $3, and it kind of messes you up. Now, I say $3. And you don't know nobody's getting paid $3, do you? Well, let's say, how about minimum wage part-time? You spread that over a week, that amounts to about $3 an hour. You can do better by going underground, and a lot of people have. This is what the IRS and the federal government would love to get their skinners on, is that underground economy. Why? Because it's bigger than the one that's out in the open. In the Ukraine, the slaughter of civilians continues. At least two towns flattened, hospitals, orphanages, and schools targeted by artillery fire, airstrikes. Now, man, talk about funky monkeys. The dude that supposedly was elected could stop it. One order. Interesting how much he cares about the people that he is supposedly governing. Maybe the people that he is supposedly governing might want to consider expressing themselves in no uncertain terms that they are not target practice, cannon fodder, and don't matter. You might want to make that clear to the boy. He don't get it. Why? He never nowhere near the front lines. He probably is never being shot at in a serious manner by somebody knew what they was doing. Now, we got some EU stuff going on. Oh, everybody's listening to the oh, keep hearing this stuff. Well, European Union representative election was extraordinary. Why? Because some 30-plus percent are separatists or objectors. And they're in office. Ooh, that means a third of the people that represent the EU Council, disagree with the idea of things that have been going on. Many, a majority of member countries want their sovereignty back. Ooh, you mean to tell me that the EU don't allow sovereignty? That's right. It also does not allow a country to have control over its finances. What the heck's left? What's the major deal with leverage, finance? So it was Britain who consolidated Iraq. The three, Sunni, Shiite, Kurd, want to be on their own. That's what's going on over there. They're separating again like they were before the great Britain oligarchy got in there and screwed it up. The U.S., EU, central bank, puppet governments will not survive this. Uh-oh, now what are you going to do? What happens if the people turn? Finally turn. We've had enough. You have done everything funky that I can that you could think of to do to regular everyday people who didn't do anything much to you but try to comply with the mess you've made. My goodness. Well, so you got Iraq. Now I'm going to predict that the same will happen in the Ukraine. Ooh. In these cases, the people will win. So now what? Well, the puppets are being eliminated. and that's no more evident than, meanwhile, back at the ranch at home right here in the U.S. of A., effectively chopping the head off the snake. Cantor is out, one down. Ooh, yeah, that's right. I said he's a Kabbalist. He is one of the people that is a wholly owned subsidiary of. Who did it? The Tea Party working the grassroots? Was it just the people that decided they wanted somebody that wasn't so busy with their so-called leadership role that they couldn't have time to for the people that they were supposed to represent? Does that sound familiar? Oh, gee, man, I'm too busy with the whorehouse to do anything but, oh, God, that feels good. Go have fun, excuse me. Yeah. Message, listen to the people or go somewhere. We don't much care where, as long as you don't pop your ugly head and rhetoric up too much. To give you an example, the EPA is being sued by several states on cutting coal-fired generation stations, generator stations. Now, we get like 30%, 40% of our electricity. Imagine what your electric bill is going to be like. Ooh, supply and demand. We're going to brown you out, cut you off for a day. You only got 3 days a week. Think about it, because it's happened already in other places. And... The reason given, well, they couldn't get it passed. They tried. They tried to bring it up, and everybody jumped up and down and screamed. It's evident. It's a going business. It is global. What is it global? Well, it's called. It's the next part is the infamous carbon tax. That means you got to pay a tax on driving. Now, this goes along with all the other taxes and fees and arrangements and requirements and licenses and plates. And I mean, there's a lot of people I know being in a poor state who are doing good to hang on. They're doing good to get to and from and eat. You had housing costs to that and a few other things, and mercy sakes, well, I hate to blow somebody's bubble, but we're going to pop it badly right here. What do you think the carbon tax is tied to? Everything. Electrical production, fuels of all kinds. Now, oh, you're going to have trouble heating your house. Is it any wonder, because it's not regulated, that New York State outlawed using wood to heat your house? Now, you think about that real close. Why do you think Tesla's idea of a worldwide free electric system did not go? Couldn't figure out how to make everybody pay for it. Ooh, it comes down to money. Money, money, money. Yeah, you've heard that song. Oh, my. Then we got new additions of taxes being proposed. They say it's for the highway trust fund. 12 cents a gallon, we're going to add to your tax. A sudden bump of that nature in the price of gas is going to screw the economy even further. It's bad enough that they are allowed, that they give benefits to companies that outsource jobs overseas someplace where they can pay a dollar a day. It's bad enough they do that, but now they're going to come up and tax us for the benefit. Well, you know, if America is a top producer of fuels and said fuels are not allowed to be exported, we should be close to energy independence. Everybody's been harping on that crap for years. Well, I agree with that to an extent. I don't like some of the ways and manners in which they're doing it. Fracking, I don't like. Dumping oil that they don't appreciate very well just anywhere they feel like, that ain't cool. Why are the prices so high? If we're a major producer, soon to be number one on the planet, and we can't export it, what happened? Oh, fuel is a global commodity, is the excuse. Yeah, listen to up on listen to some of that news on there. Some of that news tells you exactly where it's coming from. Their pocket. Price gouging is going on and is being allowed by our government. Yeah, that's right. They're supposed to say no to certain things, and they're saying, sure, as long as I get my cut. Yeah, that's right. I'm saying that each and every last one of you turkeys has taken a bribe. 99% of you in office, and you're guilty. Anyway, then there's the other fun and games. There are talks about allowing export of our fuels. Here comes the excuses. You think prices are high now? $4 a gallon in several places already. What if, big if, capital letters, our fuel was exported? Take that $4 a gallon and double it, $8 a gallon. How many people can afford to get to and from work at $8 a gallon? Not many. You'd be riding a train or a bus or walking or getting a bicycle out or something. I guarantee about 40 to 60% of the population would lose transportation at that point. And then you got, supply and demand? Or price gouging? Which is it? Well, we got this globalization stuff stuck in our whatevers because somebody says so. We have to price our fuel. Can't be exported now. Remember that. We can't, can't play that game. That means that we ought to have a superabundance of fuel here in this country. A superabundance. That means that this stuff ought to be cheaper than squat. How cheap? Well, let's say $3 and something a gallon on average everywhere right now. Cut that in half. A lot of people say, $2 a gallon. No, buck and a half a gallon, if that. That's the real cost at profit. Whoops. Okay, then you got supply and demand or price gouging. That's a question you got to think about, and why are we allowing this? Ooh, there's problems in Iraq, and they produce oil. Jeez, man, come on. 1% or less of the world's supply comes from Iraq, and you're going to tell me that that dictates what's going on in terms of the price of oil in this country? Somebody's playing games. There are many surprises coming. Now, I'm going to elucidate to a couple of things that I've found through varying sources. I can tell you right now that the no-fly zone is a big hit. I'm hoping to hear soon that some of this stuff pops out of the woodwork and says, hey, hi, hello, how you doing? Guess what? You got to make a detour, the road's closed. Now, they already did that to one person. They put it in place already, agreed to it, signed it, and everything, and it's done. And I guess some of these oligarchs really took issue with that. What do you mean you're detouring my airplane? You got a choice. Force landing, and you get arrested, or you get the hell out. pretty simple. It's not complicated. If you want to funky around about it, we can shoot you down. Man, can you imagine one of them fat oligarchs in a parachute? Oh, that would be beautiful. Now, we have been bumping along in world matters for quite some time. A lot of people don't understand the complexity of what is going on, how we are doing it, and the levels at which the play goes. Most people do not comprehend that. Most people do not understand that it takes a head of state and or their legislative process to approve a no-fly or some other action. Interesting. Now, there's been several things going on for years nobody's noticed or paid attention to. Have you ever noticed that the United Nations is running short of security forces, peacekeepers as they call them? You might pay attention to that. It's been going on for years and getting worse steadily. Why? Because people are refusing refusing to participate. Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Well, I say what we have here is a failure to participate. We have, collectively, people who know what's going on, had enough of the BS and don't like the smell. So instead of flushing the toilet, we just decided to shovel it up on your porch. Now, there's been a lot of farmers who take care of this sort of thing by doing just that. They have taken manure to London and deposited it on steps of the government. They've done it here in the States. I mean, we need to do some more things of this nature. What would Congress do if they couldn't get out of the building because all the doors were barricaded with manure? Maybe they'd get the idea that they ain't shit. Or maybe they'd get the idea that the people are shitty. Either way, look what they get to deal with. Look at that big pile. Ooh, I bet that smells. That stuff's green and bubbling. Uh-huh. You know? Oh, Lord. Anyway, several of the people that have acquiesced to what we are doing are high level. Bunch of them. Not just two or three. Bunch of them. Neil's been quiet because he's been so freaking busy. He got time to pay attention. Can't afford it. We are in a position where these things we've been talking about are getting ready to be actualized, realized, and made official. I've been trying to tell everybody this, and yet, you know, and I keep telling them, oh, it's close. It's getting closer. Are you excited? Well, that gets old after a while, so I ain't going to tell you that. I'm going to just tell you that there have been a variety of things happen recently. There was a financial meeting of the G7. What are we going to do about Russia? They ain't acted right. They're not playing the game. They are not playing by the rules. Well, look at the rules. Look what they're doing in the Ukraine. Central banking, Western civilization, you either comply or we'll just flatten everything. We're going to make a greasy spot where your village used to be. We did this. We used that technique in Vietnam. It didn't work very well. All it did was piss off a bunch of people, make a whole bunch of people decide to wear black pajamas and pop up out of the ground after us and stuff. Used to be, we'd go in and we'd help. And I mean that. You know, rebuild roads, do whatever it took. People were glad to see the Americans. We didn't charge them a dime. We made sure that they were in good shape, provided food and water, helped them get to and from, whatever it took. We used to be the good guy. Well, that's been quite a long time ago. At least we appeared to be the good guy at that point. I mean, we've done a variety of things that, quite frankly, would choke a billy goat. pigs would eat anything. But In terms of putting lipstick on a pig, I got news for you. Pig's liable to take some fingers. You go messing with the wrong one, especially going in big old mama's house. If you know how to grab one, you'd be all right. But most people ain't ever fooled with a live animal. That's what I like about being up here. Got all kind of wild critters. and they just roam freely through the yard. They don't worry about me. They don't worry about the wife because we're friends. We don't molest them. If there's a problem, we take care of the problem that they're not in a position to handle, whatever that might be. Now, I'm real curious as to how many of these people out here got their ear to the ground and really have paid attention as to what is going on, the manner in which it's happening, and why. Now, I posted a couple of things just today, just a couple, and I want everybody to, if you ain't signed up on the website, do so. You get some notifications. I guarantee you the oligarchs don't like. I done made them so mad they can't. They're passing blood on one end or the other. Believe me, I just love it to death when that happens. I have talked about a variety of things over the time I've spent on this show. One of those things was mass arrests. Some of those other things were plans that people have had in place working on since the 50s. A lot of people are questioning, is he for real? Well, how come ain't nothing happening? And I've had that question so many times, it just, it gets old and tiresome. Now, I do get discouraged. I get burnt out on some things. Some days I get so busy I can't see straight. You do about 14 hours a day on a computer and see how your eyeballs do at the end of the day. They'd be crossed and hiding in the back of your head and whatnot. I do have a variety of contacts all over the world. These contacts run the gamut from people that people know, like Ben Fulford, to people that people not only ain't heard of, but I ain't going to tell you who they are, but are in strategic positions. Either the information flows through their position, whatever that may be, or they generate portions of it, or participate to some extent in it. I won't have it any other way. Some of the people out there have been playing games, and I posted one of those today. You got a Daily Beast report talking about how Putin is a lot better chess player than anybody thought he was, for one. Number two, the truth got kind of ignored and left out. You got people that are direct employees of the central banking system. Now, whether Rothschild was cutting a check and all that, I don't know exactly, but the record shows that they were a part of the central banking system. All of a sudden, they become president. All of a sudden, the Russian contingency officer disappears as president. Has to, doesn't have a choice. So they have this quickie election. And during the term between interim president and the elected, you start this operation against terrorists. Ooh. Well, these people that are doing these things might want to start being careful, and I'll tell you why. The people are the terrorists. The people. I'm not talking about the outsiders. I'm talking about the people themselves. Okay, you had a support for peace. That's what the election was about. They wanted peace. They didn't get it. They wanted a relationship between the EU and Russia, and they didn't get it. And you got a whole bunch of fun and games in between. I will suggest that the people watching their, in some cases, might be their relatives, getting shelled by artillery and bombed by aircraft, and summarily executed on the battlefield, they might start taking issue with the existence of what is in office in Kiev. Now, there has been an offer made, and I know some people that would put up some heavy, hard money to have a certain kind of flag planted in the right spot in Kiev. I will suggest that they might, that somebody might want to get together and pull a quickie operation of your own. You can take a dart gun and dip the dart in certain things and shoot somebody in the neck, and they go out for about 20 minutes. That would be long enough to exchange flags, and they probably wouldn't notice much about anything until it was way too late. What you want to do is call the press. Oh, Kiev is under attack. Click, hang up the phone, watch and see. They find the two guards, three guards, whatever, laid out, stone cold out of it, but they can't find anything wrong. But they're taking pictures. Yeah, the news crews will get videos. And then they see the flag in the wrong place. Something been replaced. Think about it. It's kind of like taking the American flag and turning it upside down. Well, that matter of distress is something that the United States needs to look at very closely. And it's a sign not just by an official, but it is an official sign of two things: that the castle is going to fall, that the flag is going to be taken by an enemy without assistance. And we are, whomever puts that up, wherever it is, it's a signal of distress. Imminent danger. The imminent danger we've been facing, we've been seeing, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of distractions. Suddenly Iraq explodes again. They can't get it going in the Ukraine the right way. And too many people over there are getting videos of civilians being gunned down by gunships and or military. Yeah, that's right. I said it out open. It's a fact. people have been hiding in basements until the food and water runs out, and then they come out anyway and get shot or shot at as they try to escape. Nobody wants to be on a battlefield. I don't care who says they do. Unless they're totally insane, they don't want to be on a battlefield. People who are not used to gunfire, not used to things exploding, not used to being shelled, even less. A lot of people sit there and cry, scream for a while till they get hoarse. This brings back memories. I've seen battle-hardened guys next to me in a foxhole, tears running down their face, because it's so painful to be in that situation. These dudes, I mean, you know, I'm talking about not just one tour. I'm talking about two, three tours in where I was at. Some of these people should have been so battle-hardened that they were callous to anything, didn't feel nothing, didn't care about nothing, except pulling the trigger on the enemy. And yet they're sitting there in the foxhole weeping. No lip quiver. No voicing of the distress. Just tears running down their face. Said a lot. And you think that these people have learned not to do that. That human beings are not designed to be uncaring, unfeeling. And yet we got a generation right now, and this goes out to all the young people, the people that might be aware, unplug. Seriously, unplug. Turn the phone off. Pull the battery out of it. Turn it off. Pull the battery out of it. Stick it in your pocket and don't text, don't call, don't do nothing. Try it just one day. Oh, you're going to have withdrawal symptoms. Why? Because it's psychologically addictive. Because you can be a combination of anonymous and well-known at the same time. And that's a paradox that just don't exist in normal human contact, where you actually talk to somebody face-to-face, learn the art of conversation, learn what other people care about, know that there's something better than boys getting the girls and the girls getting the boys, that makeup is not important, that nobody really cares about who's seeing who in the celebrity world. If everybody was really concerned with that, the movies would be explosive. The movies ain't doing squat. They're doing about half what they should or less. Well, there's several reasons for that. The previous two administrations and this one have put things in place that all of a sudden screw things up. As an example, Obamacare does not offer equal protection under the law for everyone simply because it states that the law of a work week, 40 hours, no longer applies. Anybody who works over 30 is considered full-time. Horse hockey. Then if I'm going to work over 30 hours, I want time and a half. See how far that goes. All of a sudden, you're going to find out you're going to be up against a wall. Well, and neither one of them is going to budge. What needs to be done is, let's say I have Obamacare, whomever is in charge of that mess, and the Labor Relations Board go at each other. Let them take the heat. They're the ones that decided to screw it up. They're the reason that you don't have anything but part-time or low-paying jobs. I mean, you come out of a technical or trade job and go to work at Mickey D's, give me a break, $8-$10 an hour maybe. let's say we raise the minimum wage. All that's going to do is eliminate a whole bunch of these beginning positions. It's not designed to support people. Now that it's being forced to support people due to specific policies put in place, ooh, what does that say? You don't count. You ain't worth the $15 an hour. You're not worth the trouble. Have you noticed that businesses are not doing as much business? Yet the stock market goes up a lot. It's at record levels. And you've been warned. There's a whole bunch of economists out there tell you that thing's going to pop like a bad balloon. And it ain't even got confetti in it. All it's going to have is stale, rotten-smelling air. You know, like when somebody cuts one they've been saving for several years, kind of smell. Bad smell. Stinking. I've noticed in the markets that there was a slow deflation of certain prices, precious metals and other things. And then all of a sudden it stopped. Just stopped dead in its tracks. Fluctuating maybe a dollar up or down for quite a while. Or it just sit there, percolated. All of a sudden now it's back up to almost $1,300 on a gold price. We're looking at the 20s for silver again. Now I've told people to buy into this stuff. And, oh, we lost money, did you? Or is that the inflational, deflational, sideways maneuver of the value of the dollar that says so? Is gold priced in only dollars? No. What is it good for? Well, it's a recognized currency everywhere, which means that if, and everybody's got this June 21st or something date. Ooh, we're close. My. we got this date coming where the dollar is supposed to collapse. I'm going to say I doubt it, and I'll tell you why. They're still making money on you. They're looking at increasing the money they make on you with these added taxes. Remember what I told you. if it's a moneymaker, they ain't going to stop it. What do you got out of your mind? I mean, you don't cook the goose to lay the golden egg. Make sure that baby cakes has got any kind of grain that it wants to eat, that it's got the best and finest nest on the planet. It's not difficult. We're the goose, and they consider us an animal. It's stated in a whole bunch of different things. World Health Organization paperwork says so. Health and Human Services definitions say so. Ooh, yeah, that's right. So therefore, we can come across other problems. Got kids in school? Are they the property, wholly owned subsidiary of the state while they are within the parameters of a school system? Or do you have certain parental rights and the kids have certain rights that are extensive but not as complete as an adult? Or can the school do any damn thing it wants? Now you got to, you don't have to consider these things. I've had enough, in case anybody caught on to that, and I'm in a rare mood tonight, in rare form. I hope I'm not curdling anybody's milk too bad, but I do hope I shake up your whiz banger to the point where you get off the couch. And I don't mean get off the couch like, you know, put the beer down, get off the couch, and go get the gun, oil it up, load it up, and go out and shoot people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking an active role in your own education first so you know what's going on. Most people don't have a clue. A lot of people cannot function at the level I function, and I understand that. A lot of the stuff I get, and believe me, I got a whole page notes here, I can't even talk about. I was sworn to secrecy and silence. You have no idea how painful my tongue gets when that goes on a regular basis. Steady diet of biting your tongue hard. I would love to let people know that there was another meeting called the G77. I'd love to let people know that certain entities that we've been fooling with are in trouble, and they don't know how close they are to non-existence. How about the United Nations? They're getting ready to be taken down. I've been telling you this for a while. They're going to be moved unceremoniously, and they're not going to like it. They are not going to like it at all. I got a strategic question for everybody to contemplate. What is going to happen when all of these treaties and fun and games come to a screeching halt? Now, you want an apocalyptic, biblical level Chinese fire drill, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people lose it big time. And it's not of their choice. Psychological studies, I'll get into that in a second here. The fun begins when I decided to figure out what the deal was with psychology. My first inroads into psychology started when I was about nine. Started looking at books and reading them. Some of them were my parents' college textbooks, political science, the how-to of political science. And, oh, man, you talk about something that's really far out and fantastic. Believe me, that covers it. There was another couple of them, certain philosophical ideologies and their application. But the one that really got me was the explanation of finance. And it wasn't Finance for Dummies. They didn't have that sort of titles back then. But the one that really stuck in my mind, the one that really got me, was simply finance. And they had a section in there on how it works, where a debit is a credit, and a credit is a debit. Yeah, that make a lot of sense to you? Yeah, well, the true definition does stipulate what I just said. Screwy as that might sound. The fun and games of all this is based on two things, actually three. First one is basic power. That kind of branches out into stuff. And a lot of people know this stuff. A lot of people have heard it before. A lot of people have heard me speak about it. One of the powers is putting troops on the ground, boots on the surface, going after people with guns, artillery fire of varying sorts, armored vehicles, tanks, warships out in the ocean. People are well aware of that. That's pretty obvious. Well, let's take it to another step. Sociological pressure. That's where society is willing to accept certain things as norms, even though they're absolutely opposite of what you know to believe. In other words, the good things are turned into bad things. And the bad things are turned into good things. It's okay to be disassociative. Ooh, yeah, big old collegiate word there. Disassociation is the same thing as being numbed. Acclimatized. There's several descriptions. When an individual gets to a point where shooting people, blowing them to bits, as long as you don't get too much on you, splattering brains on the wall, whatever, however you want to look at this, gets to be the norm. You don't notice it. Believe me, I do know. A lot of people have been in combat that have had some of these types of experiences I have had will readily concur with this. You get desensitized. What's that mean? Well, your sensitivity to things that you know are absolutely wrong. You don't hurt little babies. You'd be reasonably nice to people. You don't lord it over people, whether it's gender-wise or otherwise. Treat people with respect. Give them the honor that they should have according to the situations. Allow them personal dignity. There's a whole bunch of stuff goes into all this. When that goes away, what do you got? Texting, cell phones, and social dysfunction. Social dysfunction is when you no longer socialize on a face-to-face, personal basis. That's why I stipulate, try it. Let's everybody pick a day. It don't matter what day. Any day will do. Turn it off. Computers, laptops, tablets, cell phones, all the texting, everything, done. Only the people that you come face-to-face with should you have social intercourse with. Now, social intercourse, I know that sounds dirty, but it ain't. Social intercourse is the exchange of ideas and conversation and things like that. If you don't know how to talk, start talking to people. You'll learn. People say, what's the matter with you? Where'd you learn that? I'm trying to learn how to do it the right way. What I say. And they'll tell you. Most people are painfully honest about things. The ideology here is to rebuild that which has been taken away from us. And it's not been taken by technology. It's been taken by an acceptance in the social norm that people do no longer have the capability to understand touch. One of my favorite movies, WALL-E. Yeah, I like some cartoons. Some cartoons actually got something to say that's worth listening to. WALL-E, in that movie, this man and this woman touch. They get awakened. They get broke loose from the brainwashing of, by and large, a big old corporation that owns everything, including the people. And they touch, physically touch. Hi. It was funny to see the awkwardness. It's like watching little kids the first time the little boy wants to hold a little girl's hand, and she wants him to, but she's scared. He's scared that if he touches her, she's going to lose it. And tell him he's a worthless piece of don't ever touch me again, whatever. And they finally get the courage up and keep sitting closer and closer, and finally that touch happens. Whew, whoa, you ought to see the glow in the dark it gives. That's socializing. Taking socializing to a little different level. We have a large load of disinformation, misinformation, and BS running around. In case people don't know, and I mean a large load, you get two different, totally different stories. You have people out there that run blogs. You got people that supposedly report the quote news unquote. Oh boy, I posted one of those today, and I'm gonna say, really? Now, I would have given those people a little better credit than what they gave the news that they supposedly got from different sites that are known agent operatives. Oh, yeah. There's tons of them out there. I've been to those sites before. I noted that this person quotes a bunch of stuff from them and says this and says that, and the only truth is coming out of the West. Putin is just nothing but a big liar and a cheat, and he's nasty and bad. Well, is he? Show me another leader on this planet that has been able to combine political and physical interests into the defense of any portion of a population on this planet. Show me that. Our own country's after each and every individual in it. You and me, anybody who believes a little differently or questions the politically approved stuff that comes out of these so-called mainstream media joints, anybody who questions it is a terrorist. Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, boy, lots of money. We can go after anybody. We can get them. We can make sure gun control goes through. It didn't. We can make sure that this happens and that happens and Well, I'm sorry, but there are limitations on international organizations, and I don't care much who don't like it. Preferably it's somebody that is a bad guy, and preferably it does something to them. Preferably it causes them all kind of consternation, impossibilities of being able to function, to be able to influence, to be able to tell the mainstream media what they can or cannot say. And, yeah, I've run across this. I've had discussions with different combination of executives, anchors, different shows, different news channels, and you'd be surprised. Well, I can't tell that. Well, why not? It's the truth. Yeah, but they'll turn us off. There you go. Now, supposedly, censorship is illegal. If the truth is something that, you know, is not specifically designed to attack an individual's credibility in such a manner that it is not possible that they did what is being said. Other than that, you got free rein. You can and then if you wanted to take it, you want to take it to the limit one more time, you can joke about it and get away with it anyway. Hustler magazine did that through the Supreme Court. Yeah, that's right. Scrungy, nasty, funky Hustler magazine. It only takes an individual who has the tenacity not to give up no matter what, and somebody to properly present something, and you can get it. Now, I'm leading up to something here, and it's pretty simple. The stuff that's been going on is not easy to see because it's at a high level, it's rather secretive, and it is basically an agreement. The Unaligned Nations, who agree with the programs that you've been hearing on this show, number 132. I want you to get that clear, 132. You might want to check, look around, see if you can find out who the Unaligned Nations are. That's the people that do not allow the central bank to have control of their country, pretty much. They may have a bank there, but they're not in charge. And that's something that everybody needs to pay attention to. What would happen? This goes back to the first question. What if? What would happen if finances were taken down to the extent that these big bad bullies could no longer operate? What would go on at that point? Are we talking major chaos, Chinese fire drill? Wall Street would go nuts. What do you mean the money's no good? Holy moly. Well, the dollar already went to zero. Yeah, oh, that's right. It already went to zero. And the reason it went to zero is because the charter ran out on the central bank. The central bank here in the United States went back under the control of the Treasury Department. Oh, boy, what a mess. Oh, my, you mean them dollars I got in my pocket ain't worth nothing? Well, I can still buy stuff. Yeah, it's still honored. don't mean it's worth anything. You got to remember that's a credit certificate. That ain't a dollar. It does not have any value, either in and of itself or any other way. It's credit, and we done borrowed about the limit on a credit card. That's why we're not going anywhere. That's why we're not doing much anything. That's why all of our we pulled all our horns back in. It ain't that America's scared of anything. I don't believe that that's possible. I have known too many average people who have done extraordinarily heroic acts on the battlefield and other places for that to be the case. Home of the brave? Absolutely. Now, what I'm asking is this. Is it possible for everybody out there to exert their own influence, personal interest, influence within their own lives in order to come out with a specific result that will give us our freedom? That's the question. That's the question everybody needs to ask themselves. If so, contact a local militia. If the group is a disorganized bunch of dingleberries, make your own group. Find people that ain't stupid or whatever the problem might be. Most militias are pretty tight organizations. I am and have been in touch with a lot of them. I'm hoping to see some honest-to-God, real action in the very near future. I wouldn't be talking to you about this, about what I'm talking to you about, if it was not coming. Now, everybody's, oh, yeah, here he goes again. What's it going to be, 2 weeks? Jeez. I'm not going to make predictions at the time. I know it's coming. It's very close, and we'll find out within the next few days. How's that grab you? I found out what was going on, what the problems were. The other time, last show, I mentioned a few days, well, I found out what the problem was. That's been rectified. Everything is in place. People are signing up on the no-fly like you would not believe. They think it's hilarious. Oh, this is going to be fun. We're going to have fun. We're going to be able to tell them to screw off finally. That's right. These people want to tell people to screw off just as bad as we do. How'd you like to be able to tell the tax man he's not welcome anymore and no, he can't have no money and get away with it? How would you like to see the gas price go to where it should be? I want you to really consider these things as possibilities. Oh, yeah, dreamland, far out. Drake's done lost his mind. You know, whatever you want to look at it is fine. Don't matter to me. What I'm saying to you is very simple. What if? What are the possibilities? What would happen if all the statutes, laws, rules, regulations, and horse hockey, ordinances and regulations and rules and all that crap finally got put in the toilet and flushed, and we come up with a new set of things? Yeah, we're going to have to modify our original documents. We can add things to it to explain things, and that should have been done a long time ago. You know, where's the definition come from? Whose definition is it? Is Black's Law Dictionary really fictitious, like people say? Ooh! It was started as a joke. I think it's changed a bit, but some of it is correct. That much I do know. Then you get into the ecclesiastic law. I mean, this is all legalistic crap, and a lot of people don't want to hear it. Well, I decided to check some things out. I was getting communications from high-level military sources that things is this way or that way, and this is this, and that's that. First thing was I got involved with some people doing a thing, and we did it. And then turned around, and I got permission by talking to some people that I could openly discuss some of what was in the works. And that's where this all started. That interview with David Wilcock, the shows and all this stuff, people are not interested anymore. Really? Why? Because you're telling them that I'm full of it? There are some people out there doing that I trusted. That's part of what happens when you do this. I didn't expect it from the people that did it, but it happened nevertheless. Well, okay. So what did I do? I turned around and started it on my own. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm paying for the show because it needs to be out there. Now, here's the offer. There's a lot of people out there who listen to this show. There's a lot of people got something to say, something to offer. Ask your questions. I'll give you a definitive answer, for one. Number two, this is an open forum. I don't care, personally, who comes on this show. Thomas Williams can invite anybody he wants to, even if I don't like him and they don't like me. I don't care. What we need to do is get as much of the truth out as possible, no matter what it deals with. And that's the reason I do what I do. This is the reason that this is going on. Now, I found out that those high-level sources in the military were full of horse hockey. So I got a new set together. Then I found out that they were no better than the other ones in some ways, so I got another set. Now, this third set is the one I work with now. And what happens, as I said, not just military, but other places, the information passes through their hands. They get to read it. They can make a copy and send it to me, et cetera, or whatever, or communicate in some manner with people I know who can get the information to me. This is where I get my information. Now, right now, and I mean right this minute, you're gonna see, if you look hard, a whole lot of shuffling, kind of sideways maneuvers within a combination of the military and the federal and state governments. There's going to be some maneuvering going on in the very near future. When you see that, expect to hear some church bells in the not-too-distant future. Expect it. I will. Tom, we got some music?
We sure do. Thanks for that, Drake. Sounds like a very interesting hour. Right. We'll be back after a couple of songs, and the moment you've all been waiting for, the long wait is over. Tanath will be with us straight after the music. Bye for now.
When darkness
welcome to the second hour. That was Space Odyssey, and the moment you've all been waiting for. I'm sure you're all excited. I know I am. And time to hear the voice again. Taff?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? Let me just
I'm having a giggle
back.
Over your song choice there at the end.
I thought you might like that one. Nice and dramatic. It's been a long time coming. And
it has been a while.
What have you been up to in the last 9 months while we've been carrying on with the groundwork as such?
Well, I've been doing a lot of work of my own, as you should know, Tommy, because you've been a participant in it.
Yes, I do.
Just to let everyone know, just because I haven't been talking doesn't mean I've been idle.
No.
Both myself and the Silver Legion continue to work. We just don't have anything that we could show you to go and actually look at in the physical world yet, which is part of the reason why I decided to step back in the first place. I felt like I should put my money where my mouth is, and that's not yet possible. However, Tommy has begged, pleaded, and wheedled for me to come on and do a discussion. Especially about some specific topics that I think are germane to the experience of everybody in the Cosmic Voice. As some of you are aware, there are a lot of energetic and psionic attacks being leveled at the Cosmic Voice participant base, and that's one of the things that I'd like to talk about here today. But I'll let Tommy structure the conversation here.
Right. A couple of questions we get asked is why no Sunfire with us at this time?
Well,
you address
the situation
that?
With Sunfire is pretty complex. We'll put it this way. We still consider Sunfire very much a friend and very much an ally. Unfortunately, there were interpersonal matters that interfered with this. At this point of time, I think Sunfire needs to focus on healing herself and figuring out her own self before we're really willing to open to having her on the show as a full participant. Once again, I'm not saying that Sunfire's been taken over. I'm not saying that she's co-opted or anything like that. She has some healing that she's got to do personally, and until that happens, I'm not willing to go on a show with her.
That's fair enough. Right. Where are we next? Are you able to give any updates on anything else before we get into the business side of it?
Not a whole lot, other than we have, like I said, been very, very busy. I've been juggling this work and a full-time job. That contract's up, and then immediately after, they asked me if I wanted to go again. So, back at it, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we have been extremely busy on the non-physical side. We continue to attempt to secure the space around Earth to make sure that there's no invasions. Anything that's getting through is basically using back doors to get to the surface. And the thing about those is that back doors don't really permit full invasion scale movements. They're kind of limited in their flow. So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, we don't also have the ability to use those back doors, so that's a bad thing. We do have some operations in the works that we're hoping will yield some useful fruit, but you know, oftentimes when we do this, it ends up being back to the drawing board as usual. So I have definitely not been sitting on my butt doing nothing. We've all been working behind the scenes. Unfortunately, due to operational constraints, I can't discuss details and specifics of what we've been doing. But we are attempting to take down the Matrix, and we are attempting to basically take down the prison that's been put up. Now, what you got to realize when we're talking about this is that there was a seriously monumental effort made into ensuring we could never, ever land and never, ever interact, and ensuring that any kind of positive effort would fail. Fortunately, all of that hinged on us not knowing what the actual source was of the underlying problem. We've discovered that since, and that does make it a lot easier to begin the very arduous, long process of taking down all this crud.
Yeah. Good. Right, you mentioned earlier about the psionic attacks and the psychic attacks. A lot of members are reporting. I'd like you to go through the grounding and shielding and perhaps explain what's actually happening with those attacks and who's carrying them out, if you must.
So there's a lot of different ways in which attacks can be made on listeners. When you're listening, you're listening usually through something connected to an electrical source. Usually it has to be turned on and receiving a transmission. Other things can be piggybacked along with that transmission. Everything in the universe is energy. I think we've probably established that fairly frequently, that it's no longer news to anyone. A lot of times, things like electromagnetic frequencies, or ELF, are being used to propagate attack frequencies. People talk about Gwen towers and things like that. Yes, those things are being used against you. Additionally, there are kind of what I guess you could call fissure attacks, in which there will be a little bit of energy put out to see what it comes into contact. And if it comes into contact with the right kind of fish, so to speak, you guys, then it will hook and attempt to use that hook as a conduit through which to attack you. Sometimes fissure attacks are targeted at specific types of individuals or even specific individuals. Oftentimes you might have a person who is a carrier of the fishing line, so to speak, who has no involvement with it themselves, who is not aware of it themselves, but you come into contact with their energy and you're hooked.
Yeah, like
that's
a conduit.
Another way. Yeah, they're a conduit, essentially. And, you know, we've heard reports of specific individuals, and I'm not going to name names because these people are not to blame.
No.
And everybody thinks, you know, the insidiousness of a conduit or a fissure attack is that everybody automatically goes to the supposed apparent source, and that person is not responsible and usually not knowledgeable, and if they knew, would not want to be any part of that attack in the first place. So be careful when you're trying to pinpoint source, because there is a lot of shell game going on here, even energetically speaking. The nature of the enemy that we're opposing here is such that they like to use tools, who then use other tools, who then use other tools, and so on and so on and so on, so that it becomes an extremely monumental effort just to identify who is actually responsible. And a lot of those tools aren't even are tricked into doing it, and not even aware at all that they're being used. So it's a very tricky issue. Now the next part is how to defend against this kind of stuff. Things like ELF, things that are propagated through the electrical lines, that are propagated through towers, etc. You don't need to think of these things as being things that you cannot combat, because you can. There are physical methods that you can use to help ward them off. There are devices that some people have made that may or may not be effective, things like Orgonite. I haven't been able to test or see anything about the effectiveness of things, but I've heard of stuff like Blue Shield and other technology of similar means that may help with combating some of these technologically propagated attacks. Additionally, you can, through the power of your own mind, block off these technologically powered attacks. You don't need to think of something that uses the physical world to propagate as something that you can't fight non-physically. You can. One of the best ways to do this is simply by being aware it's going on, and then deliberately and intentionally setting up your energy field so that it does not affect you. Now, there's several ways that you can deal with an attack. You can meet it head on and attack back. You can dissipate it, or you can deflect it. You can do this either passively or actively. There's benefits to both. A passively directed an actively directed defensive technique relies you to be conscious, aware that you're being attacked, and able to direct your defenses consciously. A passively directed defense, on the other hand, is one that's set in place, and once set in place, continues to work. You may have to check it from time to time. You may have to tweak it and do additional work. But once it's there regardless of whether you're awake or asleep, regardless of whether you're having a bad day, regardless of whether you have a migraine and can concentrate, or whatever. So I generally prefer passive defenses because they take a lot less energy and attention to keep going. But if you don't check them regularly and keep updating them, they can be co-opted, overwhelmed, or destroyed. Now, the big thing about this kind of thing is it all goes down to the power of your mind and the power of your imagination. If you're convinced that it won't work, if you're convinced that it's not real, it won't work and it won't be real for you. But if you decide to forego all that self-talk that speaks of doubt, speaks of I need to see proof before I believe it, you can defend yourself. You can basically fake it till you make it, so to speak, when it comes to energy work. So I've talked about grounding and centering before, and I'm going to give people a refresher. Now, once again, I'd like everybody to understand, if you don't feel comfortable with a specific technique, don't use it. Doesn't matter if it's a meditation technique, doesn't matter who gave it to you. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, if it gives you the heebie-jeebies or a feeling of I don't really feel this is for me, don't do it. You have the capacity to invent your own techniques and do what you feel is right. I find that a lot of people, though, need a starting point from which to actually begin. Sort of like, how do I swim? Well, first you got to learn how to float, right? There's several different ways you can swim once you've learned how to float, but first you got to learn how to float. From there, you can innovate. So the basic notion behind energy work is, of course, that everything in the universe is energy and that you are made up of this energy and also that you can consciously use this energy and tell it what to do. There is energy that's locked up into things and into places that is not so easy to use, but there's plenty of free energy, and I'm not talking about the kind that generates your electricity without a bell. I'm talking about ambient energy that's just floating around there waiting to be used. So back to grounding and centering. In order to center, this is where you become fully within yourself. You draw in all parts of yourself that are flying off and busy, and this happens to all of us. We get distracted. Our energy goes everywhere. We aren't always very focused. Centering is the process of bringing yourself within yourself and delineating the boundary between yourself and that which is not yourself, including energy that isn't you. One way that I do this is I do a pane of glass visualization where I visualize all my stray bits as being silhouettes of myself doing various things, all of which have a little dot on their solar plexus. And I pull in those silhouettes until the dots on the solar plexus all line up. And it feels like a little click, and I'm centered. And centering is actually a really great way to regain some emotional composure. If you're like me and prone to, crying jags when you're extremely frustrated or angry and you want to, deal with that coworker who's really nasty or whatever, then center yourself. It will help. Grounding. Now, some people don't like grounding because it is one way to tie yourself to Mother Earth. This can be a leash, but this can also be a mutual gift. Tying yourself to Mother Earth doesn't mean that she's not going to let you go when you need to go, but some people don't like to do this. For those who do, once you are centered, and for a novice and even for experts, you shouldn't attempt to do energy work until you've centered, because then you're off balance. It's for those of you who have martial arts training, it's similar to understanding whether or not your core is in proper position. If your core is not aligned, somebody can give you a little shove and you'll end up on your nose. If your core is aligned, they can push you and you will stand like a rock. That is the principle of centering as well. And for the same reasons. And if you are uncentered and you attempt to do energy work, somebody can come along, give you a little shove, and you'll end up on your face. If you are centered, it is a lot harder to move you or use energy against you. So once you're centered, you want to connect with Mother Earth and make a two-way energy conduit so that if you are hit with more energy than you can handle, it goes to Mother Earth and strengthens her. And if something attempts to take energy from you, Mother Earth gives to you. It's a two-way, mutually beneficial relationship. You can ground from wherever you are, with even when you're 30,000 feet above the ground in an airplane, or if you're standing on a concrete floor of your apartment, or sitting on your butt in the grass somewhere out in nature. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you're lying, standing, or, you know, on your head, you can ground. Because we are all living things living on Mother Earth at the same frequency she is, we can ground from wherever we are. I like to visualize a tree root coming down from my feet or my butt or the middle of my back or whatever my position is, wherever is centered. And just going straight down to the core of the earth and forming that two-way relationship, kind of like a handshake. And then I'm like a tree rooted in Mother Earth. And she likes this. She likes this when her people ground, because it's an acknowledgement that that we are hers and she is ours, and it's also very polite to do because it shows that you consciously acknowledge Mother Earth. So once you've got your ground and your center, you can begin to construct your shields. This is largely an effort of visualization and imagination. If you're like me and you have a hard time visualizing because your visual center is kind of shot, you can decide simply through pure intent or through your pure imagination what you want things to do and how you want to do it. It's a bit like setting up if-then relationships. So if A, then B happens. What I like to do is set up, tell the energy around me, and I just basically imagine all this energy around me to do what I want it to do, and it does. It's that easy. So for instance, if I'm securing my house, I'll think of the walls, and I think of those walls being coated with energy, and that energy weaving itself into a fractal of infinite size and infinite tininess that captures anything that tries to come and harm anything in my household. So anything, whether it's a being, whether it's a frequency, whether it's an energy beam, anything gets trapped in that weave and becomes part of that weave and gets assimilated into that fractal and strengthens it so that the next thing that comes just gets integrated into it even more. So that's one form of shield. Other forms of shields might be to envision something like a metal shell around your house. You know, these are proximity shields. You can put them in one place, and they'll stay. They won't move around with you. Then what I do is once I've got my shields imagined, is I imagine it tied in to whatever the main source of life energy is in my vicinity. Now, I live in southern Alberta, and I'm close to the Bow River. Natural rivers run along the same conduits as many, many huge rivers of energy. Just as water flows into watersheds and into rivers and basins, life energy also flows down the same sort of ideas, down the same paths. Wherever you have a river or a stream, you will have what's called a ley line. There's also the geometric ley lines, but I suggest to people to use the natural ley lines because they are Mother Earth's gift to us. They're also much harder to co-opt. whereas the geometric grid lines that have been put up as ley lines can be more easily used against you. Tie into the natural or tie into other sources if you have them, and you're usually good to go. So once you've got your shield, you imagine a little thread going out from it, finding the nearest source of natural energy and tying into it, make a little knot in your mind, and there you go. It'll stay attached. It'll draw what it needs when you're not there. It doesn't need you to consciously maintain it and keep it there. You can also do this around your own body, where you can make a shell that keeps everything away that's form-fitting or even pushed out a little bit to protect your aura and does not let anything harmful past. This you'd pretty much have to power from yourself because you're running around all day and you're not necessarily able to tie it into a node line. The key is to make it so that it doesn't need your conscious maintenance to stay intact. Again, you're probably going to want to use shields that instead of pushing back on an enemy, instead takes the force of the enemy and uses it against them. You know, it's a very Tai Chi principle for those who are familiar with Tai Chi, is using force against itself. So instead of simply resisting, it would instead take, transmute. So if you envision the bad energy coming at you as red, when it hits your shield, it turns blue, or whatever colors you feel are more appropriate, and it becomes part of the shield, and it strengthens the whole without harming you. These are extremely effective shields, if only because they can't be overloaded. Some of our ships use the same shielding mechanisms, where the more you shoot at it, the harder it gets and the stronger it gets and the harder it is to actually damage the shield. You'll also want to make a shunt to the ground so that if the shield gets overloaded past its capacity, it doesn't hit you. It goes into Earth where it can't hurt her and where she can do whatever she wants with it. If you are battle-minded, not everybody is. Not everybody wants to fight back. Some people just want to be left alone, and that's fine. But if you are battle-minded, you can fight back. One way to do that is to try to figure out what the source of the attack is and then send a lobby of your own flinging over to deal with it. You want to be really careful on your targets of this because you can end up hitting a patsy who all of a sudden now has a reason to actually go after you. You know, if you've got a conduit, then, well, you're basically punishing the innocent. So be careful on things like this. You want to be sure of your target before you shoot. And don't, just like with a real gun, don't aim at anyone you don't intend to actually shoot or aren't comfortable actually shooting. So, you know, target verification, if you're going to do this, I hope you're able to verify a target because it's not a good idea to just go shooting off into the dark.
Nope.
You know, for those people who are sitting here thinking, yeah, 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 blah, 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 psychic attacks, yeah, whatever. Whether you believe in it or not, it does happen. And for those for whom it's a factor, it is a major, major factor. People's lives can be ruined by this. So if you're a person for whom this is real, you know, this advice can help you. And if you're a person for whom this hasn't ever been a factor, be on your merry way. Keep it in mind because someday you might need it.
Yes. Well, I can verify that, Tath, because I've had numbers of people who have come to me with these type of issues, and I mean numbers.
And the thing about energy is the more you do it, the more you become aware of the fact that energy is real, and the more acute your senses are to things that go on around you and change. So once you start to realize, oh, well, that's my aura. Oh, something just touched it. Oh, yeah. I can perceive things moving in the energy around me. You know, the more you do it, the more adept you get at that, the more acute your senses are, the more you practice, the more you realize this is real and that, you know, you do need to take this stuff into account, and you do need to take action.
Yes. Yeah, it's lots of people are frightened to come forward because they think, you know, society tells them.
Fear of ridicule is a huge barrier to a lot of people.
And we've managed on Cosmic Voice to get people to come forward, because the more they come forward, it gives more courage to other people to not hide in the dark with this, because it is real and it's happening to far too many people. You know, we had issues with the chat room recently, and a number of others who have experienced it. I've experienced it myself. If you once you get up to scratch on it as such, you can counteract it within seconds. But as Tath says, you have to believe. It's only an energy thought process that's targeting you, and it's an energy thought process that fights it back. Are you pretty much covered on...
I've got a little more to say about that.
Yeah?
Carry on, sometimes, if you're a person who's been under attack for a long, long time, or particularly vicious attacks, because some people on this planet get what I call the quote-unquote special treatment, where the things that are fiction to most of us are very, very horrifyingly real.
Yeah.
If you're a person like that, sometimes you do have to ask others for help. Sometimes it isn't easy or even possible to do the work all on your own. In times like that, sometimes there are people out there who can help you. The thing is, though, that this isn't an energy expenditure for them. And when I say it's an energy expenditure, I'm not kidding around. I've seen people knocked on their butts by the kind of energy that gets flung around in these kinds of clearing sessions.
Yes.
One person I've worked with and who I can recommend is a man by the name of Anthony King. And I'll give you his website, and I'll also post this on my own site after the show. It is http://seeren.me. So it should sound like Seer and Me. He does take donations, and in this case I would say it is warranted, because this is a service and it is actual work. This is not something that he can do without feeding himself, without having a place to live. He has to have access to food, shelter, and all of those things that we need to survive in order to keep doing this work. It's not something that – it's not like an e-copy of a book where they have potentially unlimited copies of them at no cost to themselves, and then they're charging you money. No, he's charging money for an actual service, and it is a real service and real work. If you do choose to go to Anthony Kane or any other worker of this variety, I'm most familiar with him because, like I said, I've worked with him directly, and I can vouch for his integrity, and I can vouch for the fact that he is really what he says he is. Please don't think that it's appropriate to ask for stuff for free. Because these guys, people like this, are spending a lot of effort to try to help other people, and they have a right to live in order to keep doing so. If you are having serious financial issues, you can always talk to him. He may be able to cut a rate because, like I said, it's donation-based. So there's people like that who can help you out if you're really in a hard way and need extra help from another actual person.
Yes. I can vouch for the members. I can vouch for Anthony as well. He does very good work. So, right, are you pretty much covered on that now, Tath?
Yep.
Next thing I would like you to talk about is the fractal virus, the origin of evil.
Yeah, the fractal virus.
And the
Captain
nature
XCS,
of souls.
Yes. and Chloe have discussed a little bit on the Facebook about the fractal virus and the nature of universes. Captain XCS, by the way, is one of the Silver Legion's mages here incarnated on Earth. She's a very special person to me. I work with her closely every day. We're in contact pretty much. She's probably best known on CV for the Kundalini Reiki meditations that she writes. Once again, I'm going to tell people, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, you don't have to. You can still contribute without doing Kundalini Reiki. That's what she's most comfortable with. That's what she knows. That's where a lot of her expertise lies. So that's what she uses. Other people, you can join in your own intent, in your own fashion, any way you want. You're not restricted to using one form of meditation alone. Again, we provide it because it provides a useful basis, a useful starting point for people who may not have advanced to the point where they're willing to invent stuff out of whole cloth on their own. So, the fractal virus, the origin of evil, and the nature of source. The fractal virus, actually, maybe we should backstep a bit and talk about the nature of source and the nature of universes. Source is the universe and everything within it. Source is you, source is me, source is the couch, source is the plant I'm looking at, source is the TV, source is the light that's shining, source is the sun, source is the stuff that we call dark matter. Source is everything in aggregate. And because source is defined as everything in aggregate, source can't take one little bit of creation and say, this is me. Because everything is source in aggregate. There are no beings that are set aside as special speakers for source, that are set aside as source incarnate, because the very definition of an aggregate is that once you have something that is singular, it is no longer aggregate. Once you have that being, it either ceases to be source entirely, because it's one more specific thing within the aggregate, it is not the entirety of the aggregate. Or source ceases to be source, which generally involves the destruction of everything in the universe, and that's not a good thing. So, source is this universe and everything in it. Even visitors become partially of source while they are in this universe. This universe is attached to other universes, which go higher in dimensionality. We're here, as we know it, from 1 to about 12 or 13 as it's being born. As we attach to greater parts of the multiverse, to other parts in the multiverse, those older branches or twigs are maybe going from 12 to 44 or 12 to 36 or whatever, and so on and so on. So many zones of dimensionality are captured in each extension of the twig, and it is very much like a twig. We're a leaf at the end of a twig that is on a twig, that is on a branch, that is on a big branch, that, and so on and so on and so on until our multiverse branch connects to the main trunk of existence. And there are an infinite number of branches. There are an infinite number of twigs. There are an infinite number of leaves. And even our leaf can go on to become a twig and make other leaves and flowers and so on. Sometimes we refer to this as the universe tree, and it's a very apt metaphor because if you were to look at the structure, it is tree-like. It is also flower-like, and our universe actually looks more like a lotus than a leaf, but we can refer to it as a leaf for simplicity's sake. When our universe was born, and this is a young universe, you know, it seems pretty darn old to us, but It's actually one of the newer flowers on the twigs at the end of the branch. When our universe was born, it was born with a disease. The disease came higher up the trunk, or higher up the branch, not quite to the main trunk. It isn't infecting the entire tree, but much of the branch we're on is infected with this disease. That disease we refer to as the fractal virus. What happened was a group basically broke off from the main universe tree and discovered that they could destroy universes and kill the sources within them and use the leftover dead universe material, because even if you kill a source and that universe consciousness is dead, there remains living beings inside of it, although they will be in decline at that point and eventually will go extinct because the source flame within them is also dead. There will be living beings inside of it that can become enslaved. There will be raw materials in the form of all the matter and higher dimensional matter that you see around us, and there will be energy still left over in the corpse. Just like when you die, you leave a body behind, and that body can go on to become dirt or ash or worm food or whatever. And this group basically learned how to kill universes, in other words, kill sources, in order to take and cannibalize those corpses and to construct their own artificial dead universe that is not connected to the tree. Now, the problem with this is that it's a dead universe. That means it can't innovate, it can't create, it can't expand and grow, because this universe, as any physicist will tell you, is expanding. What they don't realize is that there is not indeed a finite amount of material, because this universe is alive, our source is alive, and as long as our source remains alive, new material will be generated. There will be no heat death of the universe. However, if our source dies, that's when you get the heat death of the universe. And that's when this this group that developed the fractal virus comes in and basically cannibalizes everything in sight, enslaves anyone left alive, and uses all the raw materials to keep their own dead universe's false life going that much longer. Everything they do costs them materials and energy. Everything they do costs them lives. So for them, this is a zero-sum game. For us, as long as our universes are alive, we have infinite resources. However, Drake has in the past discussed the notion of infinities of different sizes. The dead universe of the attackers is a heck of a lot larger than our little leaf. So even though we technically have an infinite space, so do they, and they have a larger infinity than our leaf, though not of our branch or the whole tree. To go back to what I was saying before, they infected the branch with a disease that was designed to create ideal circumstances for one-shot kills on universes once they reached what they consider to be a harvestable size. Everybody wonders what's so important about this planet. Why is the big deal about this planet? You know, what's going on here? Why is Earth so important? Earth is the kill shot. If we fail here, this universe dies. That's why everyone and their dog is getting involved. That's why there's all these different groups that are trying to manipulate things here. Some of them are working for the universe killers because they've been promised a little slice that they can rule over. They've been promised their own kingdom, their own slaves, their own little thing, whatever. Some of them don't realize that what they're doing is going to result in the end of the universe if they're actually successful. What even the ones who know what they're doing, what they don't realize is that these universe killers, because it is a zero-sum game for them, never let their minions actually gain their rewards. This is a very important thing. If you're helping these guys, if you're working against the good of this planet and the survival of this planet, you're not going to be a king in hell. You're going to be food. you're not going to get whatever it is you think you're getting. A couple of people from this universe, and they won't be from Earth, they won't be on Earth, let me guarantee that. A couple of people from this universe will be given the Oprah treatment to be able to use as examples to the minions in other universes. Hey, look, you'll become a king. Guess what? The rest of you are food, because sharing with you cuts on the hole that these killers are trying to get. And everything they have to share with someone else is one thing that they don't get themselves. They put so much effort into making these diseased universes one-shot kills. What makes you think they'll ever share any of that bounty with anyone that isn't themselves? They don't. Nobody on this planet, nobody in this galaxy, nobody in this galaxy supercluster is going to get to reap those rewards. The ones who are actually doing this come from outside this universe, and none of those rewards are going to go to anyone within this universe. So if you're listening, now might be a time to turn and start fighting for your own survival. You're not going to be a king in hell. Maybe it is better to just be a regular dude in heaven than a king in hell, because you'll never be that. The origin of evil. I've had people ask me, if Source is everything in the universe and Source is so good, then why does Source tolerate evil? The bare truth of the matter is that the evil is the result of the disease. The disease creates a kind of sociopathy, a kind of psychopathy in which people's self-interest becomes self-destructive. It looks like self-interest in the short term, but it actually turns very self-destructive in the long term, because in aggregate, it leads to the death of the entire universe. In a normal, healthy universe, you will have some service to others. You will have some service to self. Actually, you have mostly service to others. You'll have some service to self, and they will be nicely self-contained. They will be happy enough to keep their atrocities in one little spot, because before any of them can rise up and cause problems for the neighbors, somebody else stabs them in the back down there and takes their spot. It's a self-limiting thing. That gives those who really want to experience that kind of life the option to experience it without endangering those who do not want to experience that kind of life. It's contained. In this universe, however, it's like somebody threw some yeast in and then let it go. Instead of being self-contained, it grew over its boundaries and started infecting everything else in sight. That is the result of the disease. We call it a fractal disease because it changed how the base fractal of this universe twisted when it was born. Not much. You don't need much of a change to cause a big problem in a fractal. That's why we have evil. And if we succeed here, we can and will eliminate it so that those who wish to leave in peace can live in peace, and those who wish to live in the little microcosm of tyranny will have their little bubble of horrible safely out of the way where it doesn't touch anyone else. So the other thing about Source and universes is that sources cannot act directly upon themselves any more than you can sit here and out of the power of your own mind tell your heart cells to grow or your kidney to grow or, tell your fat cells to fuck off. Source cannot control and micromanage any of its parts. Instead, what it does is, through synchronicity, it informs those parts of things going on that it needs addressed. For instance, if there's something threatening Source's life, as there is now, Source will make that information available so that the people who can counter it can get into position to counter it. If there's something that Source needs done for the health of its own self, it will let actors within itself know. The people who are capable of fixing the problem will learn of the issue, and then they can choose or choose not to, lend a hand. If they choose not to, it'll be offered to the next guy. And if the next guy chooses it, then they'll go in. And if they need support, more people will be brought in. That's how the Silver Legion ended up here. We learned about the problem synchronistically, and we decided to come help. So anyone who's expecting Source to just wave a magic wand and fix everything, that's not how it works. Everything that happens in the universe is done by people. It is done by actors. It is done by beings who can make a decision and take an action to achieve a result. There are no gods that sit there and just wave a hand and miracles happen. That's not how existence works. Anything promising you that is coming from the side of the universe killers who have set up a really, really nasty alternative to Source, a decoy, if you will, that we call the Demiurge. And this is your hierarchy. This is your one true God. This is anything that demands you obey. This is anything that puts itself over you. Opt out of it because it is not of Source. It is not of life. It is trying to lure you into its bed universe and eat you.
Yes.
We're almost about to have the hour.
Taff, can you touch on the fact about light and dark, please?
Well, light and darkness are often used as shorthand for good and evil. They are not. Both light and darkness, and when I say light and darkness, I'm talking about, you know, the stuff that comes out of the sun or the stuff that comes out of your light bulb. That's light. Or darkness, what happens when you turn off the light and there's no light there? It's dark. As physical constructs, as the underpinnings of existence, light and darkness are both required in order for existence to function the way it's supposed to be. If you have nothing but light, nothing is differentiated. If you have nothing but darkness, nothing is differentiated. The point of existence is to be differentiated, to be one thing different in a sea of everything different. What we're trying to do in existing is see how many different combinations of everything we can create that are different. That is what experience is, to experience and learn and become part of all of that. In a very remote sense, yes, we are all one because, you know, we're all part of Source and Source is everything. But the point of existence is to be an individual, to be an experiencing being that is different from its surroundings and able to perceive the difference, because that is where the beauty of existence and the fun of existence is. Between light and darkness intersecting, you get a lot of different possibilities. Many different colors, many different forms, lots of different forms of existence. Those two things on their own are not good or evil. They're simply fundamental underpinnings of existence. Part of the problem of the fractal virus is what it did is it infected the fundamental construct or the fundamental existence of darkness and basically made it crazy. So that all of a sudden, instead of basically being a partner with light in producing existence, it tried to take over light and rub it out in order to conquer everything. And that's part of why we have this notion that dark is so bad and evil. The underlying dark existence of this universe has been cleaned. The base part of it has been cleaned. It does take what we experience as time for that to filter down the fractal, because, of course, as I've mentioned before, these things are a result of actions and keep on cascading down until they reach us or reach a particular point. When people talk about the forces of light and the forces of darkness, typically what they're trying to talk about is basically those that preserve life and those that destroy. I think it's time we got away from that terminology, because many of these things that pass themselves off as light, that produce shiny brightness, are not necessarily fighters for life. And even some of these things that absorb light and produce absorbing darkness are not necessarily evil enemies. For instance, Admiral Mander, he's from another universe. He's not a native. And in his universe, light and darkness are co-creators in balance and harmony, and they are not associated with good or evil. And he is the child of the dark, the primeval darkness in his universe. And he is an extremely good and honorable being. Anybody who encounters him, provided they're not bad guys, generally discovers that really darn quick. You know, he's a person of integrity, and he's a person of goodness, and he's a person who is devoutly committed to protecting life.
Yes.
A lot of these beings that declare themselves to be of the light are actually working for the Demiurge, the false source that has been set up to help conquer this universe. One of the biggest telling signs of this is anytime they start referring to hierarchies, oftentimes they'll refer to the kingdoms of heaven or the hierarchy of heaven. Ultimately, what they want you to do is stop thinking for yourself and start obeying. Anytime you see that paradigm, anytime you see that construct, that setup, turn around and run, because these beings mean you no good. There is no hierarchy. As far as source is concerned, you know, the greatest of the gods in terms of power and strength is just as valuable as the poorest human here on Earth, or even a rock or a mountain or a pile of dirt or some ocean water. We're all equal in source. There is no, there are maybe beings who are capable of achieving more in terms of certain forms of action than others, but that doesn't make them better. It doesn't give them an opportunity or a right to rule over others, and it sure does not mean that you have to worship them or do what they say, unless you feel that that's what you want to do.
Right, we're at the top of the hour. That was fantastic. Thanks for that, Tath. You'll stay with us for the final hour?
Yeah, sure. I think we have a few more things to
yes.
mention. So.
Good. Right, we'll be back after a couple of songs with the final hour with Drake and Tinath. And here we go, one of Tath's favourites.
They came flying from far away.
Hi all, and welcome back to Cosmic Voice in the final hour this evening with Drake and our special guest, the one we've been waiting for a long time, Tanath. Hi Tanath, are you ready?
I'm here.
Drake, are you here?
Yeah, I'm playing that role I started out with called Mountain Mouse, you know, quiet and listening. And, then again, you got to understand something, folks. Trying to get a word in edgewise when the lady's got the microphone sometimes is an impossible situation, so I just let it fly, you know, leave it alone. I'd hate to antagonize anybody, you know.
I don't know, Drake. You know, I think I'm pretty focused and clear, and I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that I've been talking to people about, and I know you noticed you mentioned one of the many, and some of the things that people are questioning to me as to relativity is to how to advance beyond the usual norm and whatnot. So I've got at least right now I got three people who are learning the decisiveness in terms of controlling the reality as we find that reality acceptable. Meaning that it don't matter what's going on or who's doing what to who, if you don't like it, you ain't got to put up with it. And a lot of people don't really understand exactly how that works, and they go, yeah, right. Well, the power of positive thinking covered the very, very outer edges of it. Now, I went ahead and stepped all the way into the Twilight Zone and took a bath in it. Now, what you're going to have to understand it is that statement, you are exactly where you have decided to be, is a great part of everything. Now, some of the things that Tass dealt with in terms of attacks, in terms of this, in terms of that, also can fall within those categories. Some of the things that people are not aware of in terms of like protections and all that sort of thing, or getting what they really should have rather than what somebody decides to throw crumbs from their table at, it's all available. So I'll leave it alone at that.
Right, thanks for that, Drake. Tath, recently you did a blog covering the issue of the gods. Can you touch on that, please?
Yeah. Sure. Now, most of us have heard of the gods. You know, you might have heard of the people like Apollo and Athena and Demeter and stuff like that, or Thor or Pele or any of the various legendary figures that were acknowledged as gods by humanity on this planet. They exist. What gods are basically among the firstborn of the universe, and also among the universe's most powerful. Gods are able to move and act very, very powerfully. They're able to influence large portions of creation, and many were instrumental in actually creating creation, in taking, you know, the undifferentiated stuff, the proto-universe, and forming it into universe. Some of them have incarnated on this planet. Anyone whose name we acknowledge as a god on this planet has, you know, interacted directly with humans on this planet, typically not as an incarnate, but as a god. It was due to changes made by the reptilians that our legends of the gods all include things such as worship, because the gods as they were born do not require worship, do not desire worship, and consider the need for worship to be a sign of insanity in a god. There are those who turned against Source and became addicted to the power of ruling others, and who actively seek worship. As I mentioned, they're considered to be insane. They're often working now directly for the Demiurge. A lot of the times they've been promised their own kingdom in hell, so to speak, out of the dead scraps in the universe. And once again, even they will not get to reap what it is they think that they're going to win out of this proposition. Back to the incarnate thing. A number of gods have incarnated on this planet. Some of them may even be people who are listening to this radio show. Some may not have remembered who they are. Some have incarnated themselves into not just one incarnate, but multiple incarnates. Some of those are aware of the fact that there are multiple incarnates of the same being. Others are not. I'm not here to out any gods. I'm not here to tell you who they are or validate anybody when they come and say, oh, I'm so-and-so. But I will tell you that they are real, and they are. Some of them are incarnated here. They've been lured here through various means. Some cases they came when they were called for help. Some cases they were tricked here. Some cases they wanted to come help conquer on behalf of the bad guys. For one way or another, a number of gods were lured here as incarnates. Once they become incarnated, they're just like everyone else down here. They have just as many abilities on this ground as you or I or anyone else does, which means that even if you happen to know so-and-so is this god or another, they're still not going to be able to grant any wishes or make any miracles or do anything that you could not do. And that's why a lot of them keep quiet, because they know damn well they're not able to do these things that people want from them. And so they keep quiet about it, because they know if somebody knows, oh, well, you're this god, do something, God for me. No, we don't get that. Nobody gets that down on this ground. They get the same thing every other incarnate gets, and that is the shitty end of the stick in terms of being an outsider, in terms often of knowing who they are and what they're missing and not being able to do much about it. Some have maybe more or less psychic ability or metaphysical ability, but again, there's no wish-granting genies going on here. There's no miracles. How is this relevant? Well, a lot of these matrixes and grids and things like that and portals take this energy of gods, often those who are incarnated, and uses their attachment to their own identity as a way of furthering that prison that keeps us all trapped here, keeps friendlies out, and keeps us coming back, reincarnating against our will. So, for instance, if you happen to be a goddess incarnate, and maybe you really, really identify with Aphrodite or Hathor or something like that, well, your attachment to your own identity strengthens that prison's hold on you, and in turn strengthens the entire prison's hold on everyone. This does not mean that you need to reject who you are. This does not mean that you need to say, oh, well, I'm not that person anymore, or I reject that person. What it means is you need to become aware of this tie on yourself, and you need to break it and resist it consciously. Many gods have many names, and one of the reasons why so many cultures may know the same god by many different names is to create more opportunities for attachment. For instance, you know, the goddess known as Athena to the Greeks was known as Minerva to the Romans, was known as Neith to the Egyptians, had a male name in China, and may have had identities elsewhere. So if Athena were to incarnate down here, even if she didn't identify with the name Athena, if she identified with any of the other names that were put on her, she woke up one day and realized, hey, I'm Neith, she'd be hooked. In that way, it turns the awakening of the individual against themselves. Now, there are ways to free yourself, as I said, if you're one of these individuals, and it's not limited to gods. Sometimes there's people on this planet who are angels who have names known to humanity. Sometimes there's people who are heroes or other figures of legend, and they wake up one day and they realize, oh, I'm Boudicca, or, hey, I was this legendary figure, or I was that legendary figure. Well, The moment you come into your identity, that's when you are hooked, and in turn, where that hook further strengthens the things. So if you know who you are, and you know that you're represented somewhere here in myth or legend, you're going to need to free yourself. Captain XCS did create a meditation that can act as a starting point for people who wish to free themselves from this matrix of the gods. I will also say a word of caution to anybody who's participating in things like goddess portals or Isis portals or things like that. While these sound like really wonderful things on the face of it, they often have the potential to further strengthen this prison and keep gods tied to this planet as slaves and as victims, and in turn keep people tied to this planet as slaves and as victims. So they aren't necessarily as wonderful as they're being presented, even if they sound very politically correct and very empowerful.
I agree. Well, thanks for that. The next part I want to go on to is, you just touched on it, is all these beings of light and love and light and the love of all things Palladian. I'd like you to discuss...
As I've mentioned before, the Pleiades and Pleiadians, they are not one concrete group. It's not one species. There are hundreds of Pleiadian species. Some of them are extremely hostile. Some are neutral, and others want to help. When somebody says, I'm a Pleiadian, or I talk to Pleiadians, it is perfectly all right to ask which ones. If they are not able or are not willing to answer, then take it with a grain of salt, because there are Pleiadians out there who are using the term Pleiadians and everybody's association with good guys as Pleiadians to attempt to sneak past your bullshit filter. Now, I've heard of a lot of contactees who say they work with Pleiadians. What I try to do is encourage them to find out which ones they work with. The nature of their relationship with the extraterrestrials they work with is also important. If they're a subordinate, if they just passively take information, if they just get told stuff and then relay it, that's not a very healthy relationship. My personal relationship with my people is very much two-way, and I am a full participant. I don't just get stuff relayed to me. In fact, I don't really get messages much at all. Instead, the things I talk about are typically the things that I am a full participant in and that I have experienced firsthand, or that I've been involved in the discovery of. I'm not just relaying things that somebody has told me. I am relaying my actual experiences. When I interact with other members of the Silver Legion, the relationship is very equitable and personable. They don't just come and dictate stuff to me. We work together. We're friends. We know each other's names. We know each other's habits. We know each other's personalities. For instance, I happen to know that Admiral Mander really, really, really hates fish on account of almost getting eaten by a very, very large catfish and really, really loves blueberries to the point of stealing them from my hand. You know, little things like that, seeing their personalities, understanding them as individuals and persons. If you see that kind of relationship of an incarnate with their contacts, it's a lot more healthy and therefore more likely to be an actual positive relationship than somebody who's just, oh, well, we choose you, Pikachu, talk for us, fight for us, die for us. That's not healthy. That's something straight out of the page of the Demiurge.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, too much focus on Palladians and everything works. You know, it's kind of like the byword of the ET movement, if you like. And it's good that you've been able
that
to apply
that. Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This piggybacking of the term Pleiadian on everything ET was very deliberate. It was set up as a Trojan horse so that when the time came, you know, the bad guys could come in and say, Pleiadian! Mm-hmm. And everybody would go, oh, good guy! They're not. There are good Pleiadians. I happen to know that the Dakotay of Te Geta are pretty decent people. And I also know that the Erans, and that's E-R-R-A-N, of Te Geta are also pretty decent. But in general, you probably want to avoid anyone from Steropé or Merope, anyone from Maya, and most of those from Alcyone or Alcyone,
yeah,
however you prefer to pronounce it, because they're serving their own interests.
Alcyone have a history, do they not, Tath?
They do. And, you know, one thing is, if they're here and they're genuinely helping, they at least owe it to us to tell us what part they played in causing the problem and not just present themselves as, oh, hey, look, we're helping you out of the goodness of our heart. No. If the Alcyones are helping, it's because they owe us after having screwed us.
Yeah.
And they need to be upfront and honest about the fact that they're paying for their sins and not just here out of the goodness of their heart.
Yes, I agree. Tath, when we were doing the shows last time, you mentioned the three times thing, the three times check for entities. Does that still apply?
As far as I know, yes. Also, I would say, if you're ever in doubt as to whether a being is has your best interest in mind or whether it intends harm, if you feel even just a little bit uneasy, get out of there. Don't stick around and find out the hard way. Even if somehow they've managed to bullshit their way past the three times test, if you don't feel comfortable, you're not obliged to accept or be interacted with. Get out, and if you feel really threatened, you can fight back.
I agree. Any updates on ascension or transition, I should say?
Well, whether or not we transition or ascend depends on whether or not we win this war. Now, the thing about this is it's been kind of a moving target. There are some sources that would have you believe that it's guaranteed. Well, if we experience it, we'll look back and say, oh, yeah, it was guaranteed. The problem is that these sources are blinded to the alternative. They're only looking down and seeing one possibility. They're not seeing the other possibilities, which are real, and they aren't nice. Additionally, there are a number of measures being taken to prevent our ascension, because if we do ascend, then the beings that I've spoken of previously lose their one-shot kill. Doesn't mean they can't still kill a universe. It just means that they lose the one-shot. Now, best-case scenario, we take them out too, and then they do lose the ability to kill the universe or any others. And yes, ascension will be required for this. I'm not going to put a timeline on it. The circumstances have changed. Even those who purport to be from the future aren't necessarily from the future that our timeline is on. Every event that happens, every major incident that happens, changes what potential events can happen in the future. So if you come from the distant future and you went back to like 1970 or 1960 or whatever, what you knew at 1960 would have been the case. But as time moves forward and things happen that you don't expect, you move farther away from your own timeline. You're now on this one. And this one may not be anything like what you thought when you came from the future. Time travel's kind of funny that way. If you're a time traveler and you go back in time and you make a change, you can experience that change. And anything on that timeline going forward can experience that change. But the other timelines that existed before your insertion point still continue without feeling that that possibility. So this isn't the thing that we can solve by traveling through time and changing things. We're still on the timeline that we were on. And yes, this timeline that we are on has been tampered with. You know, certain sources speak about time wars. Well, these things have been going on. To the best of my knowledge, the time war has been stopped, and that kind of tampering is no longer possible, which is a good thing because it means that there's no longer going to be a billion different time threads that we can be bumped into. Additionally, sources trying to tell you that it's a good thing to merge timelines into this one, no. No. We don't want that. That's really, really bad.
Yep.
Not only would it drive us crazy trying to think logically about it, but it doesn't end up in anything good.
All right.
Now, going back to the matter of ascension, yes, ascension is a possibility still. We still have a chance of victory here. It's not a lost cause by any means. It's not a guaranteed win. It is a fight. We have to put the effort into it, but it is a possibility. As for the timing, we have no idea. The best information we had when we started put that window somewhere between 2012 and 2015. Since then, there's been a lot of stuff that happened, some of which may have impacted that. I have no idea. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2036, like some people are saying. All I got to say about that is I really hope it's before that, because 2036 is, like, honestly, as much time as we've had dealing with this shit, enough is enough.
Yeah. It certainly is. And talking about enough is enough, there's a question one of the members asked to Drake Ortonath. Are we all going through some kind of a test right now? I feel as though I'm experiencing a battle within of good and bad, mixed emotions and being pulled in opposite directions. Like I want to rid my life of impurities and detox my system to make this pure. Is this normal and what does it mean?
Yeah, that's normal. I don't know if I'd call it a test, because the constructs that are built up around this notion of testing an individual mostly come from the Demiurge.
Yeah.
However, are we being challenged and are we growing from this? And are there situations arising that force us to sink or swim, grow or else? Yes. They're typically arising synchronistically. It's not a test. If you fail, it just means you take longer. Right, Drake?
Kind of, sort of, but I got a little bit different twist on it. A lot of people go for this idea of being tested. Well, you are being tested at all times from the time you're born until the time you die. As to whether or not you can get it right, basically. But outside of that, in terms of the time we're living in, a lot of people discount, and everybody loves this, biblical reference, but I'm going to make one. And what that is the period of time where we decide for ourselves yay, nay, go or stay, and all that sort of thing. Pretty much a state or period of grace. Now, a lot of people don't understand what that word means. Grace is a smooth maneuver through difficult passage. It's how a mountain goat can run up a friggin' rock wall to the astoundment of the mountain lion. It's chasing it. And if you watch, if you can get a video of one, look closely and you'll notice that the precision is called that of a hind's feet. The gait of a hind's feet is that one hoof goes where the other one just was. So when I say smooth maneuver through difficult passage, think about that mountain goat and think about the hill we're climbing in terms of our ability to recognize even a small portion of what we can be. What we are would be nice, but what we can be is even better, and that we are striving for a and towards a perfection that has never been made available to us before this time. We are a very special race of beings in that we are also creational beings. This is where the decision of the reality comes in. You decide, is that acceptable or no? You want to be this way? Would you like to be that way? And go from there. Take your dreams and experiment, man. You know, it's like a frisbee. Flip flat, fly straight. Tilt, curves. Experiment.
Right, thanks for that, Drake. Question for Tanath. I would like to know how to get in full contact with the people who I work with on higher dimensions.
Okay, this all goes down to, in part, what I was discussing about earlier about your ability to sense energy and your ability to perceive the world that isn't physically visible. As you develop those skills, you'll develop more and more acuity in understanding when other beings are physically there, projecting down to where you are, even if you can't see them physically. You can learn how to feel them, you can learn how to recognize them, and you can even learn how to understand the energy that flows between you. Some people experience telepathy as a literal voice in their head. I'm telepathic, but I've never, ever had a voice in my head. Instead, what I get is I get almost like an entangling of the energy of the being that I'm speaking with. We tangle our energy, and the meaning comes through, and my mind will provide the vocabulary, and they will provide the meaning. And sometimes there'll be imagery, which is always astounding for me because I'm not very good at imagery on my own. And emotions. I often get their emotions very strongly. So if you sort of visualize it as, you know, a handshake between you and the other individual with the information flowing down through your hands and into you, and you can understand it, that's kind of what it's like. And those of you who wish to get into contact with your family and with the beings that you may have been working with in the dream time, set the intention for them to project to you. It was amazing to us when the Silver Legion first started interacting with the extra dimensionals, is that a lot of them did not know how to project themselves as a spirit projection to the surface. They either knew how to use remote telepathy or how to, you know, pick somebody up by soul and bring them to their ships to interact, but a lot of them hadn't figured out how you can actually extend a portion of your consciousness to stand right next to where that person is physically and talk with them. And so that's something that we've taught them. They've taught us how to build ships. We've taught them how to project. And, you know, ask them to do that. Ask them to come down and project you into your presence and talk with them there. The nice thing about being projected to you is it's very hard to eavesdrop and it's very hard to interfere with that communication because it's so close and because it's like touching somebody on the hand and hearing their thought speaking to them telepathically. Nobody outside is going to be able to listen in. It's a very secure method of communicating.
Unlike channeling, would you like to touch on that, Seth?
Oh, channeling is, instead of you just hold their hand and talk with them, you pull them into your body and they start talking for you. Don't do that. Channeling is a form of possession. Now, there may be some channelers out there who are channeled entities who, you know, are reasonably decent people. But the fact of the matter is that channeling is a fundamentally damaging and fundamentally disempowering activity. And as such, anybody who's doing it is somebody who's willing to take part of an activity that they know may be harmful and that they know is unethical And somebody who's willing to do that may not be the greatest person in the world to listen to. Now, there are people who use other forms of communication and call it channeling because everybody uses the term channeling and it's a vogue thing to do. You can ask individuals, you know, what do they mean when they say they're channeling? How do they actually communicate? If they're letting someone just basically use them as a hand puppet for a little while, steer clear of them.
Yeah. You don't know who that being is that basically is possessing that body. They may sound like a certain person, but it can be replicated to sound like someone that you feel you can trust, and it's not really that person at all. Yeah, that's what.
A lot of the
times
they're not
with.
Even people. A lot of the times what they're channeling is like a pre-programmed artificial message.
AI, yeah.
Not even a real individual.
Right. Question for Drake. One of the ground questions. Drake, lately we have seen two Rothschild deaths in the media. Do you think these are just lower level people being sacrificed, or are these people higher level seeking escape? What do you think, Drake?
They got caught the hard way in their own devices and eliminated. Some things ain't pretty, and if you think that's something, you wait until you see, as I stipulated the first hour of the show, I got 2 pages of notes on things, and if everything comes about as it's supposed to, we're gonna have a really fun 4th of July.
Another question for you, Drake. Are different parts of the cabal now starting to bump each other off and fight amongst themselves?
Yeah, they've been at that for about a year. It's just now beginning to get to a point where people are beginning to notice. One of these days in the near future, somebody's going to tell Harry Reid to go do something to himself that's anatomically probably not possible, but they'll tell him anyway. And that's going to make major news. It's going to be a major person from what I get. There's things going on. Like I say, you're going to love it when it hits the fan. The oscillator's running. They're trying to figure out how to fit the big chunks in, okay?
Another question for you, Drake. If marijuana is a Schedule 1 drug, which means it supposedly has no medical uses, why is medical marijuana legal in a bunch of states?
Because they proved that that's BS. There are about 20 or so different derivatives from marijuana that are absolutely beneficial. Now, you'll hear that smoking a joint will stop several different kinds of cancers and whatnot. Well, the problem with smoking a joint is you get stoned. Now, the derivatives can be put into a capsule, and you can take that sucker like you do your vitamin in the morning and be pretty much immune to just about anything. Now, depending on the specific, when combined with other derivatives of other so-called problems, like drugs and whatnot, you can become pretty much physically immune to just about everything on this planet that would like to bite you and make you sick or whatever. So you might bear in mind that as we advance, and I'm talking about honest to God, true advancement, not the BS you hear, as we truly advance, we're going to be able to actually become basically healthy for a change. There's a bunch of changes need to go into this. But, as I mentioned, there's 3 derivatives from 3 different places that, if used correctly, make you immune to just about anything. Meaning, as an example, one I know of, that you take once about every 4 days, and you no longer get sunburnt. So you're going to have to do your homework and your studies, but you get the idea that, you know, things are beginning to change. The ideology of using medical marijuana goes to a combination of pain relief and things of this nature. Extraordinary emotional incapacitation, such as anxiety attacks and freaking out and that sort of thing, are mellowed by the certain qualities of the THC, which is the active ingredient. When the THC is processed, it don't get you high no more, but you don't have the adverse effects of, like, paranoia attacks and things of this nature either. So basically, you get all of it when you smoke a joint, mostly. Now, there's a couple of them in there that are destroyed when the stuff's smoked or heated. So as medicine advances out of the Stone Age for a change, it starts realizing that the propagation of stem cells increases when you use certain derivatives or teas made of certain portions of marijuana, and that those stem cells, and this is a real neat one, are transported by your system to wherever they need to go in order to assist with what's going on, whether it's repairs, fighting off a disease, negating cancer or whatever. When people start understanding that there are benefits, then you're going to find that a lot of people are going to end up with either a derivative, and it could be like salt on a burger, or it could be as simple as that, something, you know, take one small marijuana leaf, run it through a coffee grinder so that it gets really fine, sprinkle it on a salad. You're not going to get stoned off that one leaf, not when you ingest it. But the medical benefits are totally awesome. And we are slowly, as I said, you got to get out of the cave first. We're beginning to see the light at the end of the cave. When we walk out in the sunlight for the first time and realize that the Creator knew what he was doing with the herb of the field to cure your infirmities and whatnot, then maybe we'll start getting where we need to go. Okay?
Yes. Question for Tath. Replicators and farms, what happens when we get replicators? What will happen with farms?
Yes, I asked for this question to be asked because it was, yep. I heard it discussed on a previous show and I wanted to add to it. I'm a former farmer. I grew up on a farm. We had a cattle farm. We also grew wheat. Yeah, I know. Canola. Yeah, I know. And, you know, other things. Lots of vegetables and fruits, which were really good. I'd like to reassure those who enjoy farming that there is still a need for farms in the age of replicators, because as Drake has mentioned before, there are a lot of things that don't replicate well. Anything alive, such as a living seed fruit, like a mango or mangosteen, they don't replicate very well. If you replicate them, you got to eat them real quick because they start to taste awful really quick. Wine, beer, anything fermented, an alcoholic beverage, now they don't have the same intoxicating effects in other dimensions as they do down here, but they are well appreciated. It's not for nothing that many of our legends dictate that we got the secret of beer or the secret of winemaking from the gods, because, you know, these are great things and everybody uses them. Those don't replicate very well, and there is a vigorous trade in any kind of fermented beverage that you can imagine in outer space. Cheese, yogurt, kefir, and other bacterially produced food does not replicate well. Again, you can replicate it, but you better eat it really darn quick, because otherwise it's going to taste wacky as heck. There's other things that we don't replicate well, or even if you replicate it, you might prefer to use the natural thing. People still live in harmony with animals in places where replicators exist. People will still work with animals that shed hair that can be spun into yarn and then use that yarn or thread to weave or knit something beautiful, or something beautiful and something functional. So, you know, our alpacas will still be around, our sheep will still be around, cows will still be around, giving us excess milk when their calves have had what they needed. Things like that. You know, there'll still be a reason to have plants and animals and take care of them and work with them. What will no longer be necessary and what we can bid a very, very cheerful good riddance to is the factory farming system, which not only poisons us at all, but is horrifically damaging to the animals, to the earth, and to us when we eat them. If you want to have a real eye-opener, watch Food, Inc. It's on Netflix. You may be able to get it through other means as well. It's a real eye-opener. Now, people who choose to be vegetarian are often doing so because of the horrors of the factory farm system. The factory farm system is just as horrific for plant food as it is for animal food. What is the most humane thing to do is to grow small plot gardens and multicultured instead of monocultured seeds. So instead of just growing a field of wheat, you might have corn, beans, and squash growing together in the same little plot where they each help each other out and thus improve everybody's yield, each of them taking a level of the available sunlight so that it's spread equally and everything gets what it needs. They're happier, they're more resistant to disease, they produce more. It's just a little less convenient for us to harvest. This planet, even without replicators, is capable of producing healthy food for every human being on this planet without requiring the atrocities of the factory farm system. We've been tricked into thinking that this is the only way to feed people. It's not. Now, replicators will be extremely useful. They'll be able to give you finished meals at the press of a button. They'll be able to give you raw ingredients if you want to cook. They will taste good. They will be of very good quality, very good taste, and they'll be healthy. But there's something that living food, a fresh ripe tomato from your own vine, you know, a block of cheese, a bottle of beer, there's this little extra bundle of energy that comes with living food. The East Indians call this prana, but that comes with a gift of a living food, and it's a little bonus that you get when you eat something that hasn't been replicated. Things that have been replicated are perfectly nutritious. They'll sustain you. You can live off them indefinitely. But there's something about living food that makes people a little bit more happy.
Right. Thanks for that, Tav. Let's see. What time is it? 10 minutes. It's okay. Drake, is it possible that now the U.S. dollar Federal Reserve notes is actually backed by the GDP of the secret space program? Just like what Catherine Austin Fitz speculated in her recent interview, UFO Economy. Is this the reason why gold and silver price is relatively low, because the GDP of the UFO economy has more value?
let's put it this way. When you use a credit card, you get a receipt. Basically, an FRN is a receipt, and it is a debit, not a credit. It is a symbol of credit being exercised as currency. It don't fit any of the above. So, basically, what you got is a valued wallpaper product in your pocket. Everybody needs to get that through their head. It is not a United States usable currency. It is an international reserve currency. We need our own dollar in order to make things right. When we do that, it will not be tied to, as such, GDP. Reason being is that the origin of currencies comes from the collateral accounts through certificates issued according to agreements made. Big difference between what everybody thinks and what everybody would like to have happen. In other words, you can never go off the gold standard, no matter how many people would like for you to. The gold standard was simply a manner in which to suppress the price of the gold as well as the usability of the dollar. In short, you notice that there ain't any silver certificates or gold certificates anymore. Reason being is they ain't got the metals to back it up. What you're dealing with is not as such a currency. It is not legal tender according to the Constitution. So you open a big can of worms and all this, you will have paper money for a while yet. The new paper money will say American dollar. Big difference, okay?
So basically, once we get the reset, there's a new dollar waiting in the wings after the economic collapse. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it's not really an economic collapse. What it is a removal of the control capability of the central banking system. Rothschilds all the way across over to here. The people that are oligarchs and supposedly in charge and own everything ain't going to have nothing but a handful of paper that it probably will amount to a very expensive butt wipe.
Right. Drake, are the plans for the QEG energy device valid, functional, and do you think it's worth building this, or is it fraud material disinfo?
You can get one to work. You got to tweak it a bit. You can do it if you want. I personally like the one that's that uses an attachment in hyperdimensional physics through varying means to the what is known as dark energy. I find those a lot more productive for two reasons. Basically, you don't ever have any shortage of the energy because all matter has a bit of that available and usually an excess. Then to go along with it, the tapping type of device that I use doesn't have any moving parts of any kind. So, you know, I got some other things to do yet here, getting my place in order. As soon as that's done, the workshop goes in, and I will probably be spending a lot of time in my workshop putting a couple of things together. First thing I'm going to do is put one together for me so I can go off the grid, flip the breaker, and give the power company the finger. you know, every time we have an electrical storm or somebody up in Pittsburgh farts real hard, the power goes out, and God knows how long it's going to take them to turn it back on. Sometimes I think they don't want you to listen to certain shows on satellite, and they turn the power off so you can't hear what's said. So, you know, there's a variety of things that goes into this. It's like anything else. The only reason you have a power grid system than the system we have right now is money. That's the only reason. So you got to get that through your head. If there's no way that they can control, license, continually charge you for the convenience of, then you know, they don't want it around. That's why Tesla got put in the wood pile real quick. This is why the water car didn't go anywhere. This is why you have problems with the plasma conversion systems that should be on every coal-fired plant. I mean, it basically takes all of the energies, to include any exhaust, and turns it into plasma. And plasma, look up plasma, see what it is. It's a combination of atomic and electrical energy that is relatively easy to work with if you follow certain parameters. It's different than electricity, but it's similar. Once you convert a coal-fired plant to plasma, you can tear the smokestack down. You don't need it anymore because there is no residue, none. This converts all of everything that is produced directly into energy. And, you can look up multidimensional multi-directional impact drives. NASA used to have a lot of information on that. There are several other places you can find that, but that's an example of what a plasma system could be and can be used. Okay?
Right, thanks for that, Drake. Do you want to say your final words? Unfortunately, the show's at an end. That went very quickly, those 3 hours.
Yeah, get her done.
Tanath, my dear, thank you so much.
I concur with Drake.
Thank you so much
done,
for
I
coming up.
I definitely concur.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And it's been a long time coming, and hopefully it won't be as long next time. Please come on again.
We'll see about that, all right? I still am not comfortable with doing shows when I really don't have much that I can point to in the quote-unquote real world that people can actually experience themselves.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that, and judging by the members, they also did. So thank you very much, Tanath, and thanks to Drake. My name is Thomas Williams. We'll be back next Thursday. Bye for now.
Time to go on, but until we meet again along the road, remember this, on your journey.